And from him seest thou these buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And that's already been fulfilled. That was fulfilled in 70 AD in the siege of Titus. Amen. They burned the temple. The gold of the temple melted and run between the cracks. And out of curiosity and to get that gold and thinking maybe there was more buried underneath, they absolutely tore every stone from me on top of each other. Amen. And fulfilled this prophecy. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter, James, and John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign when these things shall be fulfilled?" And then he lapses into the prophecy for the future. Jesus answering them began to say, "Take heed no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Hear of wars, rumors, and wars. See that ye be not troubled, for such things must need be, but the end shall not be yet." I'm going to take you over to the 14th verse. But when ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand. Then let them be in Judea, that be in Judea, flee to the mountains. 19th verse. For in those days shall be affliction, such as was not from the beginning of the creation, which God created unto this time, neither he shall be. Taking a text from the 4th verse. When shall these things be? I will attempt to answer your question in just a few minutes this morning. Amen. But I'd like to remind you that a whole season of drought, unprecedented in the history of records keeping in the United States of America, has plagued the whole country in 1999. Amen. If it continues very much longer, the farmers will have to sell their cattle. The dairymen have already raised the price of milk, because they're already feeding their stores of hay that they had for winter. Amen. And it's going to get worse. Even right now, if it starts raining, it will barely have time to sprout winter wheat and grass and the crops for the future. If it goes on into the fall and the winter, it demonstrates how quick it can get and how bad it can get in any country. Things can change in a hurry from a blessing to a curse. Amen. I'd like to answer this question. It is a question for the first millennium, that is the first 1,000 years, the first 2,000 years. Amen. Let's bring it over to the 7th millennium, which will begin in 3 months. Amen. When shall these things be? Praise God. Where do we come in? What's going to happen tomorrow? What does the future hold? When shall these things be? Where does the church come in? Here he skips from the temple and its destruction to the future. The 70th week of Daniel, if you will. The time of great tribulation, if you will. Amen. The middle of that week does not come until the 19th verse. Right in the middle of the week comes the abomination of desolation. That's Daniel 9:27. Amen. The 70th week of Daniel and the last week of God dealing with the Jews before Jesus splits the clouds and comes down. Amen. Will be split right half in two by the abomination that maketh desolate. We know what that is according to 2 Thessalonians and other scriptures, the book of Revelations, that it is the image of the Antichrist, which he will bring right into the temple and break his treaty with Israel in the middle of that 7-year period. That could be, folks, just 3.5 years away if the rapture takes place before the seventh millennium. I'm not saying it will, but it's upon us. It's going to take place. There's something happening, however, that keeps the man of sin from being revealed, that keeps this from happening right now, and that is the fact that the church is still in play on the field. That the church of the living God, who came onto the field to march in full color, amen, as God called time on Israel, amen, and God, he's going to reorganize in order to deal with Jacob again, and as he gets things together for the time of Jacob's trouble, which will last 7 years. That's all he's got left. Amen. 69 of those weeks have already been fulfilled. Jesus was crucified at the end of the 69th week. If they had not have crucified him and destroyed him, the millennium would have already taken place. Amen. But they cut him off. They crucified him. That's what Daniel said they would do. At the end of 62 and 49 together, amen, which makes a total of 69, 49 years ago, which makes a total of 69 weeks, amen, 473 years, amen, 83 years, amen, Jesus was cut off at the end of that 483 years. He's only got 7 to go to make 490. 70 weeks. 7 times 70, 490. Amen. 1 week left, 483 is already passed. There are some that believe that the crucifixion of Christ was the abomination of desolation, but it's not. Amen. Listen to this. But when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not to be, some evangelists say, standing in the holy place, let him that readeth understand, let them that are in Judea flee to the mountains. Amen. Now, at the end of the crucifixion of Christ, Jesus didn't tell them to flee to the mountains. In St. Luke, the very last chapter, Luke 24, 49, amen, and the scriptures around that context says, don't leave Jerusalem. That's the big difference. Amen. When Jesus was crucified, they didn't flee to the mountains, they stayed. Amen. They stayed until God got through with them there. Praise God. They stayed until close to 70 A.D., 70 years later, amen, or 70 years from the birth of Christ later on the time frame, amen, some 40-odd years from the time he was crucified, close to 40, amen, Jerusalem would be surrounded by armies, amen, and it was then that they were to flee to the mountains. You have a facsimile of the abomination of desolation in the destruction of Jerusalem by Titus, where blood ran like water in the streets, amen, in 70 A.D. That is a preview, if you will, of things to come, but that didn't happen when Christ was crucified. Amen. They had almost 40 years to evangelize. Almost 40 years to change Jerusalem, to get out of it everybody they could. And the Christians that escaped Jerusalem's destruction are a type of the rapture of the church. Because they believed what Jesus said, they fled to Pella, way out across Jordan, amen, out across the Golan Heights, amen, and found refuge there and were not caught in the destruction of Jerusalem. Jesus promises the church that if they will pray, they will be accounted worthy to escape those things which shall come upon the earth and stand before the Son of Man. Amen. The rapture of the church is what's holding everything back. The church being here is the restraining influence that keeps a man of sin and the powers brought into play that's going to bring in the day of the Lord. And that's where we fit in. Amen. We've had an awesome homecoming, a mighty move of God. We've been challenged by missionaries going to foreign fields. Brother Don Rich, Thursday, will go into Eastern Europe and preach the gospel from Switzerland to Kosovo. Amen. And making plans to go back to the Acunas. Our missionaries making plans. Jim Lawson making plans to go to Montana. Amen. Others making plans to go to the ends of the earth. Some are writing in their date book revival meetings that they have planned. Praise God. And this fever of activity continues this morning at a breakneck speed. Praise God. Because we've got just a little while to harvest these fields and get everybody we can in before the rapture takes place. Wouldn't you like for your family to escape? Amen. Wouldn't you like for Hamilton, the lost in Hamilton, as many as we could get to escape? Amen. And God took over spontaneously in that service Friday night. Brother Don Rich had planned, and he had under my seat a cannon of sorts. Amen. I thought he was going to pull out his big guns, praise God, with Don Rich wrote on it. An illustrated message plan. He and Sister Rebecca got up to address the Hispanics in the congregation and couldn't quit. God took off. Amen. God took over. Hallelujah. And he preached, and the power of God extemporaneously off the cuff, if you will, as God gave utterance. Amen. And every Hispanic in the house prayed and got saved. Now that's talking in tongues with interpretation, folks. Amen. In a very direct and literal sense. Praise God. Under the power of the Spirit. Amen. And it brought forth fruit. Hallelujah. Hey, what are your plans to do something for God? How about it? Let's get with this fever of activity. Praise God. We're on the field today. The marching band's playing. Glory to God. The Church of the Living God is waving its colors. Amen. But pretty soon the whip got a blow and the church is going to suddenly disappear off the field. Enter, amen, the Antichrist. Enter a fever of activity in Israel as a spotlight changes from the church to Israel. Amen. The temple rebuilt. The man of sin says, we're going to have peace. He woos and wows the Israelites. They sign a peace treaty. Amen. Unprecedented prosperity. Craft prospers. Riches. Promise. Amen. Because an unexpected boon has happened. Suddenly the world is blessed with the spoil of multiplied millions of Christians that left it all behind and went to heaven. That's why they fight wars. Amen. That's why they're food wars. They're economic wars. And nations get by spoiling other nations. Amen. And so they attack. That's why they attacked Kosovo. Amen. The Serbs spoiled Kosovo. They took their money. They took their treasures. Amen. They took their goods. Amen. And then declared a peace treaty. Amen. They bought themselves a few days. But then here comes the United Nations and says, you're not going to do it cheap. Amen. We're going to give you a reason to quit that business. And so they bombed all their bridges, bombed all their headquarters, bombed all their big buildings. Amen. And now the Serbs are going to have to take the spoils that they got from Kosovo. Amen. To start in to commence to rebuild with all they can beg, borrow, and steal from the rest of the nations. Amen. To build the bridges back. And so it didn't work. But ages on end, nations have spoiled other nations and boomed economically. Amen. That's what's going to happen when the church is gone. All these riches, all these things are going to be left, and suddenly, amen, unprecedented prosperity, unprecedented economic rise. 3.5 years craft is going to prosper. Flatteries, false Christ, false prophets, amen, in the midst of a time of trouble. Suddenly, things are going to happen with the sun and the moon. The moon's going to turn to blood, and the sun's going to turn as black as sackcloth of hair. Amen. And the stars are going to fall from heavens, earthquakes in diverse places. And just about the time people think everything all right, amen, all, quote, hell, end quote, breaks loose, is turned loose on the world, amen, and judgment comes, and the time of Jacob's trouble is brought to a swift halt by the abomination of desolation. When shall these things be? They're coming very soon. As we approach the end of the millennium and the beginning of another one, we have been made aware. At least that's one good thing that's coming out of it. We've been made aware of the brevity of time. Amen. That is upon us. Praise God. When the church is gone, it'll be 7 years when Jesus literally comes back. Amen. Thereabouts. But it's going to be so bad, for in those days shall be affliction, such as was not from the beginning of the creation, which God created unto this time, neither shall be. Except the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved. Think of it. It's going to get so bad, everybody's going to be killed unless God shortens the days. That's worse than any earthquake we've seen or heard about. That's worse than the eruption of the Vesuvius. Amen. And the burial of that rich city. When that eruption caught people at their job, they found them still bent over at their work, still sitting in their chairs covered with lava. Amen. It caught them totally unexpected. Amen. No flesh should be saved. It's going to be worse than that. But for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, he has shortened those days. That is, praise God, the Jewish nation. Those who will believe in that time of trouble. That's the reason for it, to get them to believe. The first 3.5 years, the 144,000 Jews that get saved, right while the sun's turning to blood and black, and the moon's turned to blood, and the stars are falling from the heavens, and there's signs in the heavens, praise God, it's going to stir people up and cause them Jews to lose their man-fearing spirit and their nationalism, and it's going to cause a bunch of them to get saved. They'll get really saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, and Joel chapter 2 will be fulfilled literally, more fully, amen, than it ever has yet. We only had a partial fulfillment in Acts chapter 2, praise God, but they're going to have a full fulfillment, where he said,
And the moon shall turn to blood, and the sun shall turn to darkness. And there be signs in the heaven, blood and fire and vapors of smoke. And I'll pour out upon my servants and my handmaidens, and they shall of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream, and your young men shall see visions. Praise God. But that can't even happen in Israel until the church has made its escape. Because Jesus will not send such horror, a time of affliction, such as was not from the beginning of creation, which God created unto this time, neither shall be. God will not send those horrors on his own body, the body of Christ, the church. You know it. I know it. And we've heard it. But it seems like the more we hear it, the more jaded we become. Self-confident and cocksure, we go on to drink in as much of the world as we've got time and money to take in. We need to put God first and drink in as much of God and send as much gospel as we've got time and money to send. Amen. 2 millenniums of church age. What's going to happen in the next? Let's stand and let's pray. When shall these things be? After the church is gone. Father, challenge our hearts brand new this morning. Challenge our mind and spirit brand new. Help us, Lord, to keep up the fevered pitch. Help us, Lord God, to keep up the fevered pace. Praise God. Help us, Lord Jesus, to keep going, doing. Give us supernatural strength, supernatural power. Praise God. To keep up the pace for God. To do the will of God in this last and closing hour of time. Amen. Lord, help us to realize this might be it. And we need to be about our Father's business. Jesus' name. Amen. There's a new feeling in the air.